Have you ever thought about the fact that when you're using a fitness tracker, you could be unwittingly giving burglars and identity thieves valuable information about yourself and your whereabouts? Many people who use trackers even use their own name on them, which could further compromise their security. And it's not just fitness devices, by the way. Many of us use smartphones, tablets or public Wi-Fi services without realising the risk that we're putting ourselves in if we don't make sure our data is protected. So what do we need to consider, our data if you like, what do we need to consider when using such new technology? I mean, how can we make sure it enhances our lives instead of causing us undue hassle? Well, here to tell us more about how to do that is the person in front of me who would like to be at the Kingsley Hotel in Cork but can't, and that's Silicon Republic journalist Elaine Burke. Elaine, welcome to the programme. Now, first of all, obvious one, social media like Facebook, Twitter, major problem for people revealing all sorts of things that could be used against them, and we know that, I suppose, but users often publish things thinking they're being careful with their information, but they're not.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, things like you might check into a location, or you might connect your fitness app or fitness tracker to your Facebook, and that's revealing where you are. I mean, that's material for someone who might want to invade your house, or someone who might want to engineer a meeting with you, even like if you had a stalker or something like that, they might know where you are.
Isn't it fair, like, social networks depend on all this kind of data to fuel revenue, the pop-up ad stuff and all that. Like, they need it. It's needed by somebody who's therefore going to use it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they want as much data as possible. Like, you see, Facebook is always trying to get you to like more things. The more things that you like, the more data they have. The more films you tell them that they've watched, the more data they have. So they're always going to push to get more data. But it's a case of people being a bit more aware of what they're putting out there. If you err on the side of what happens online stays online, that's a good rule to go by, to kind of think that, okay, if I'm going to say that I like all these things, if I'm going to check into all these locations, this is information that is probably going to be permanently attached to my online identity that people can eventually use against me.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that's a pretty good rule of thumb, I suppose. So it's very easy these days to find people online, find their various accounts of things, like, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, as you say. It doesn't take too much brain power to start connecting the dots and find out information about a person if their accounts are not protected properly.
Yeah, there's this process called doxing, which is used by a lot of hackers. It's used by people in the online community. And it's just a case of, if I have one tidbit of information about you, just your name even, and running searches on different sites and things like that, I can try and find out as much information as I can. People kind of do this as like an exercise as well, just to kind of prove that they can do it.
Yeah.
And the amount of things that you can find out, like say if you have a YouTube account in your name and there's videos that show your house, and then on Street View they match images of your house with Street View images, then they know where you live, they've got your address.
So in other words, a profile, it's not that difficult, especially if you have the time as well.
It's this daisy chain effect.
Yeah.
So you've got a case of, your accounts are probably connected in some way or another. You might be using the same email addresses, you might be using the same usernames, you might be using accounts that are actually connected to one another. You can sign in using your Facebook login to a bunch of other accounts online. That's the technology that they've enabled, which is really handy, but it's also kind of insecure.
So you could go with Street View here and match it with other images, YouTube or whatever, right across the board, and suddenly you have what I would call a profile.
Exactly. It's your online profile.
All right. Then should we not be sharing things online about ourselves, therefore?
Well, I think that it's a fine thing to do, but it's definitely something that people need to be more aware of. So you wouldn't just leave your credit card lying on a table in a public area. But people leave their phones like lying around like that. And the amount of information that's stored on your phone, that if you don't have an access pin for your lock screen, someone could just pick that up and find that information.
You have no idea. This is unfair to be asking this. You have no idea what percentage of people wouldn't have an online pin thing for access, do you?
Oh, I don't know, but it strikes fear in me, because I think a lot of people don't use that very basic form of protection.
Yeah, but I mean, that's because they go into their phone so often, they can't keep putting in four numbers or some name or something all the time, you know, it's a bit of a drag.
Or a pattern, or a fingerprint scan, which you can do on the new iPhone.
On the fingerprint scan, I was only looking at one the other day, a friend of mine has one showing off, and I tried to pretend that, don't be ridiculous, and I realised, okay.
Someone did hack that though, so like everything is hackable, like hackers always find a way, they're hackers for a reason.
Could I take an imprint of my friend's thumb and use it later?
Oh, there's all sorts of things people have done. Somebody actually managed to unlock an iPhone using a cat's paw, so I don't know how they managed to do that,
really?
But it did work.
Oh, that's more interesting than this. Okay, well then, the same password for everything is often advised to use, because you can't remember numbers for all these things, but actually it's a bit of a no-no, isn't it? I mean, people still do it anyway, but they just don't realise the dangers involved.
Oh, it's not even that. People are using passwords like password 1234, things like that. I mean, just everyone is using that. Why would you ever do that? And there's simple tricks that you can do. If you want to use unique passwords, just add something unique for every website and then use the same kind of sequence of characters.
Suddenly you say, that's another thing to remember.
Well, then you can use a password manager. These are really secure services. LastPass is one that's really highly recommended, and 1Password as well. And these kind of track your unique passwords for you. Because if you ask people to do an itinerary of all...
Go back on that again. A password manager tracks unique passwords. So in other words, it can tell you what your password is even though you can't remember. So what's the point of having the password?
Oh, because it creates unique passwords for you as well. So, and really long ones as well. And imagine if you have... Like, you probably think that you have about 3 or 4 online accounts. Maybe if you did an inventory, you'd count up about 20. But there's statistics that reckon that people have about 100 to 150 sometimes, and they don't even realise it because they signed into something just to get access to content on a one-time affair. But if you have a password tracker, well, then every time that you do something like that, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, then hold on a second. Online, maybe a box pops up asking if you want your computer to remember your password, and that's something people probably do a lot if they find it hard to remember passwords, and you're saying, bad idea.
Oh, definitely a bad idea.
Why exactly?
If your computer was ever stolen, or if anyone else was ever on your computer, all that information is saved and they can access your stuff. I mean, you get the people that kind of break into your Facebook account and put an embarrassing status up. Like, that's probably the lowest level of danger that you're in there. But the highest level is someone can get access to some sensitive information.
And I presume there's a huge difference between a private password, a private computer, and a public computer as well. That's just a complete no-no.
Well, yeah, but then what happens is your private computer these days is quite often a laptop that you bring out and about.
Stolen.
And if that got stolen and all your passwords are saved there, bang, you've got access.
And hijacked using malware and all those kind of things as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the hijacking is, what's happening now is we're into the Internet of Things era where computer chips are being added into everything. So you've got wearable technology and like smart glasses, smart watches. Anything that has a computer chip in it can be hacked, so they can access that kind of information.
Well, personally speaking then, how paranoid are you? I mean, like, are you the kind of person who says, no, it's in the head and nobody's going to steal my brain? Or do you have a lot of this stuff in there that could be accessed if somebody had that 1Password or whatever?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not really a paranoia. It's just taking precautionary measures. We do things like we leave lights on when we leave the house at night to make it look like someone's at home. We don't leave expensive, valuable items in view in a car so that your car window doesn't get
smashed.
That's
a good example, yeah.
So just take those kind of attitudes and bring them to your online lifestyle. Don't just leave data lying about for someone to find. But the things that people can do, the hacking of wearable technology has reached even further extremes, because apparently, because of something that happened in the TV show Homeland, which I don't watch, so I didn't see this episode.
I've seen all three series.
Well, you might remember if there was a scenario in Homeland where they hacked someone's heart implant as an assassination attempt.
Oh, yeah, the vice president, yeah, exactly.
Vice President Dick Cheney, his doctor apparently ordered that the wireless connectivity in his own heart implant was switched off because of what happened in Homeland, because it is possible. They weren't just writing that as science fiction. That's science reality.
Really?
Yep.
And your mom was standing there in the office too and just watching him die. Yeah, that was pretty weird.
That's pretty grim.
That's true, yeah. Okay, so the cookies that you see on every website that you visit, you know, is this a kind of a tracker as well? In fact, just before I even ask that, can I go back to the thing about what I was mentioning at the very, very beginning? Tell me about the devices that one might use in terms of the fitness trackers and all the rest. And I said you might be unwittingly giving burglars, identity thieves, valuable information. What about the fitness trackers? What was, like, is there a situation there that no matter what it is or whatever that can still be used? People think like this is innocuous, this is nothing, this is something I bought in a shop, put a thing
on. Well, they track a lot of information, and in order to kind of present that information in a nice way, and also in order for them to have that data,
right, there we go again,
you'll usually have to set up an account to access it. So I was reviewing one recently and I had an account set up, and then that account has obviously a password and username combination to sign into, but the data that's stored in that account was
exactly
my activity. So it had on a map, like where I was going on a day-to-day basis. And if someone had access to that information, again, they would probably know where I work, because they would see like every Monday and Friday I'm going to this location and leaving it again. They would probably know my sleeping habits, like if I'm a heavy sleeper and things like that, because they're tracking that kind of information. And there's always a way for information to be used for good and bad ways.
And have you had seen many examples of this, in terms of this is what these people did in order to ruin this person's life or to steal or whatever it is?
In the case of wearable technology, I think it's still so fresh that a massive case hasn't happened yet that's alerted everyone and put their backs up. But there's been cases of people with unique Twitter usernames. So there's someone who had @n was his username, and a guy who had @MAT. And because they're such small characters and they would have been signed up early on the network, that was like a real coveted username. And they were held to ransom. Like, people, the guy who was @N, his website was taken down because someone got access to his website hosting account and took his website down and held it to ransom. And the reason he got access to that is because he called PayPal, managed to get PayPal to tell him the last four digits of his credit card, then called the hosting service, and they needed the last six digits, and they let him guess those two digits. So he just guessed between numbers 00 yeah. to 09, and he got it.
Wow. Okay, so let's go back to what I was saying there about the cookies you see on every website. Is that a sort of another kind of tracker?
Yeah, so what a cookie does is it stores the information within the browser. So your web browser would be Internet Explorer or Chrome or Firefox or Safari. So the information's not sent to the website. It's not stored by the website. It's stored by your browser. But when you connect to that website, it uses it to remember things about you. So say if it's an e-commerce website, it will remember that you had items in your shopping cart. Right. Last time you were there, or items that you bought the last time that you were there, so we can recommend other ones. You'll see it on Amazon. They'll have recommended items based on things that you've bought before. Now, that can also be tied to your account. But if you're not logged into your account and you see stuff like that, that's because it's got a cookie tracking you. But now, because of EU legislation, every website that uses cookies has to let you know, and you get to give it permission whether or not it can use cookies. So if you don't want that kind of tracking to happen, you can just say no.
Right, but at the same time, you have to say no. I mean, like, you know, I mean, a door can virtually be opened all the time pretty easily by somebody who knows what they're doing.
That's exactly the thing. Like, it's a case of just looking for a weak link in this daisy chain of connections that we have.
Are you saying you have to be really vigilant? You have to be really together. You can identify, you can block whatever websites and services trying to track, you know, whatever the browser plugins and all the rest of it. But you really have to be like pretty smart and don't be stupid about it.
Yeah, and I mean, I admittedly have done some silly things just to get things done in a fast way. We all do it.
Everybody has. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that every time that you put information online, it's going to be used against you. It's just a precautionary measure that you just kind of need to bear things in mind, especially for younger people growing up now, thinking about their online identities and thinking of its permanence, because it's like there's information about them online that they probably won't want people to know about when they're applying for a job and their future or something like that.
And the social accounts, to get back to the big ones, when you're talking about the young people that are younger people, like the Facebook connects to an awful lot of kind of open graph. You know, you really have to watch it.
Yeah, well, Facebook's open graph is what enables it to do things like you can log in to various other services using your Facebook
That's
login,
right. Yeah.
And you can press like on articles online without even being on the Facebook website. Just because you're logged in, it's recording all of that information. And like, people are very keen with the like button. But there was an experiment recently where one user liked everything on Facebook for 2 days. He said he couldn't do it for any longer than 2 days because his feed got so full of nonsense.
Yeah.
Just, he wasn't getting any information from his friends anymore. He was just getting advertisers' info. So that shows you how they use the likes. And someone didn't like anything for 2 weeks and his feed got way better, apparently. He saw more information about his friends and he interacted with people more because
the way you say
it,
that shows you how this business has been there for 1,000 years and that, but it really is like that. There's a million big brothers out there now as opposed to just one little group living in MI6 or something.
Yeah, and now with the notion of the Internet of Things and kind of smart technology being embedded in like every item in your household, you can have a thermostat that's connected to your phone and things like that. That's when people start to get a bit, oh, geez, do I really want all of these things connected? Do I really want someone to be able to hack into my house and take control of it? Now, they are introducing security levels and the certification. So it's a case of always checking that the services that you use are respectable and that they are on top of things, because they need to be updating their core services in response to every hack as well. So there was like a Heartbleed bug that came out a while ago, and it was about 800,000 websites affected by that. There's still 1.5% of them are apparently of May this year were still hadn't updated their services or their servers to protect themselves against this.
What is then the single most important thing do you think that people can do today to protect their online identity?
I would say just start using strong, unique passwords, and use passwords wherever you can. Like, if you have a lock screen on your phone, use a passcode to get into it. It's the most basic level, and anything that delays or makes it a bit harder for someone to hack into it is a good thing.
Okay, just on that, by the way, like the other devices then, like you mentioned, the phones, the tablets, that are really important to protect them and make sure they're secure. And the way to do it, you think, definitely is the password.
Yeah, and there's a software on iPhones called Find My iPhone, which is great. Make sure you've got that set up. It means that you can track it if it gets stolen, and you can install apps on your Android phone if that's what you have, and Windows phone.
And where can people go for help? Like, that Find My iPhone, does that help? It's big, is it?
Yeah, that's like, I love that it's pre-installed on the iPhone. That's like the best thing about it. But there's, I mean, if a really smart criminal gets hold of your phone, they might be able to switch it off. But there's ways to kind of hide that it's set up, and you can protect that setting with a passcode as well. So if I went through all the steps now, I'd make your head spin. But if you looked it up online, how to make Find My iPhone really secure, they could guide you through that process step by step, and it even stops the location beacon kind of from showing on your notifications bar, which is a very clever little thing to do.
And the public Wi-Fi in cafes, hotels, bars, public transport, etc., should be more careful with, should we?
Yes, if you're on public Wi-Fi, especially if it has no password protection whatsoever, that means that someone can break into that very easily and find out what you're doing. So only use HTTPS secured websites. So when you're on your Gmail and stuff like that, make sure you have the HTTPS connection, and don't do banking and transactions and things like that on public Wi-Fi. It's just not a good idea.
Okay, just to get back to this, what should people do with their fitness trackers? Should they be doing something to them or with them, or back to passwords again?
I think they're fine again. It's like, I mean, I had all that data stored, but I had it stored and it was protected with a username and password combination. Now, I was only reviewing that item, so I'm going to actively wipe all that data. And now that I'm finished with it, and I also wiped the data on that device as well, because the thing is, you're wearing this little wristband and you don't think that it's got a little memory chip in it, and it's actually remembered all that data, and then you might leave it lying around and forget about it. But it's a good idea, if you're going to stop using something like that, to wipe all the data on it. Different devices would have different ways of doing
that. And again, if you think it's nothing, that's just the open door, and then it goes through all the other connections you mentioned, you can go all the way.
Exactly.
Okay, so finally, you know, we're mostly worried about burglars and thieves getting their hands on our information, but some people are concerned about the level of access that corporations and even the state have to online movements. Is this an overreaction or something that we should be concerned about?
It depends on your perspective, and it depends on what you're doing online. But then, in saying that, apparently, according to an analysis by the Washington Post, we know about the NSA revelations. Edward Snowden basically said that they're tracking everyone and everything. According to the Washington Post analysis, 90% of the people caught in the NSA's surveillance net were not targeted people for surveillance. So it's just 90% of average Joes were being tracked. And that's a huge, phenomenal amount. So that can kind of just make people annoyed or paranoid, depending on your disposition. But I would say that as far as Irish authorities go and things like that, I mean, GCHQ, which is the British equivalent of the NSA, they were involved in the Edward Snowden leaks as well. But according to the Irish Data Protection Commissioner, just as an example, in a 6-month period in 2013, 11,000 to 12,000 data requests were made by US authorities to Facebook. So kind of like, can you tell us more about this user? It was 34 were made by Irish authorities to Facebook. So I don't think Irish authorities are...
34 maybe Irish authorities. And if that's an Edward Snowden type or a Joe Bloggs type that they were looking for, what kind of information did they get back?
Were
they...
Well, that's only the requests that were made. That's not requests granted. And if you look at Facebook and Twitter and Google and the likes of them, will issue transparency reports on a yearly or half-yearly basis, and they'll tell you how
they'll
many
issue transparency
they
reports
fulfilled.
If what? If you ask for them?
They're published online.
All right.
And you can access them online. And they what those reports tell you is how many requests they got and how many were granted, and the percentage that are actually granted are very small, because I mean, you need to have a conviction that the person that you're looking for is this criminal or is like up to something really bad to get that information
and
from them.
When you say granted, can you find out exactly what was granted, just exactly what information was given, or is it just everything that Google can give or anything that Twitter can give?
In the bare statistics of the transparency report, you'll just find how many were granted. But I mean, if you're one of the persons that was under suspicion, there's probably ways to find that out as well. There's ways to find out nearly everything that happens online.
And the Irish Data Protection Commissioner, there is one, is there?
Is there
a person? Yeah.
Yeah, Billy Hawkes. And because we have a lot of tech companies based here in Ireland, he has become kind of the Data Protection Commissioner of the EU. I mean, there's a group called Europe versus Facebook that were taking him on there, but he just took it as far as the legislation could take it, because they're unhappy with how Facebook has managed their data, and they were unhappy with how he was dealing with that. But Facebook have been audited twice since they've been here, and they haven't found anything at fault there. So that case has now gone to the European Court, because Billy Hawkes is happy to hand over to them because he thinks the legislation kind of needs to be updated.
All right. So if you're basically if you're Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, or Joe Bloggs, or Mary Bloggs, you can find out whatever you need to find out that people have been looking for you for, like, as in Big Brother.
Yeah, I mean, freedom of information requests can be done to find out things like that.
All right, well then, as you say, you know, I think the biggest thing of all is just passwords, passwords, passwords.
Just secure your information. Just keep it under lock and key, like you would everything in your house.
Yeah, exactly. And don't leave it on the back seat of the car in the same way here. All right, Silicon Republic journalist Elaine Burke. Elaine, thanks a million for coming in and clearing all that up. Thanks.